Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It is Erev Shabbos, Parsha Shmini, and I wanted to share with you a thought. At the end of the Parsha, we learn all about the laws of Kashrus and the laws of Tumas Behema, animals that engender Tuma when a person comes into some kind of contact with them, and that really segues us into the beginning of the next Parsha, Parsha Tazria, which shifts from Tumas Behema to Tumas Adam, to Tumos that apply to a person. Rashi already cites the Medrash, that the reason for this structure, this order, really ties all the way back to the Briyas HaOlam. Just like the animals were created prior to mankind, so when it comes to defilement, when it comes to Tumah, so also you have a similar progression. This is embedded into the Briya all the way from Briyas HaOlam, as first the Torah describes the Tumas Behema, the animals that are Tumah, and the impact of that Tumah, and then it shifts as we begin in next week's Parasha. This is again the first Rashi next week's Parasha, Parasha Tazria, into Tumas Adam. When it comes to the behemos that are Tumah, the behemos that are Tar, kosher, not kosher, so how do you go ahead and is there any sense, is this the Chok, another Zechukas HaTorah, or is there any perhaps rationale that one can develop into the types of animals that we're allowed to eat and the types of animals that we're not allowed to eat? So some of the Svarim point out, it's interesting, that when it comes, we'll break it down into first fish. When it comes to fish, so the simen kashrus of a fish is fins and scales, snapir v'kaskeses. What a fin enables a fish to do, fins enable a fish to escape danger. So a sea could be a very hostile environment, and the ability to have fins, the back fin that propels the fish, the fins on the side, enable the fish to escape danger. Scales also, when you look at scales, scales really present themselves as a coat of armor, as a fish coat of armor. And in that sense, also a certain protection from the hostile environment that surrounds the fish. When it comes, for example, to some classic non-kosher fish, starfish, jellyfish, so these fish do not have fins or scales, and they simply, for example, a starfish will just float in the water wherever the current takes it. The fins of a fish enable it to escape danger. And perhaps there's a Musar Haskel there, that when it comes to a Ben Adam, not just kosher fish, but kosher people, have the ability that we know that the world around us has some challenges, has some exposures to us that can be very, very hostile. The ability to go ahead and have that shield, those scales, that coat of armor that protects us from things that can infiltrate our neshamos. So that's one of the simen kashas, to know that you have to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. And secondly, the ability to swim away from danger when there is that sense of hostility that will damage our yirah shamayim, our avodas Hashem, our neshamos. So sometimes you have to have that coat of armor and stay put, but just be there and make sure those things do not infiltrate. And sometimes you have to have the ability to swim away, to flee from that potential harm. That's when it comes to fish. I like to point out also is that if you have a fish that you can't see its fin and scales, it's already been skinned, for example. So the Mefarshim point out that a backbone, a shidra, is another simen kashrus of a fish. And again, what a shidra enables a fish to do is swim against the tide, to swim upstream. And so too, a backbone is certainly one of the simane kashrus of a human being, is the ability to swim or walk against the tide when the tide is in a certain direction that is contrary to Torah mitzvos, to be able to go ahead and propel oneself upstream against the tide. That's again a simen kashrus of a person. When it comes to animals, behemos, so we know there are two basic simone kashrus. One is split hooves, and the other is that the animal chews its cud. When it comes to chewing its cud, so the terminology, that the official term is it ruminates. And the word ruminate itself, you take a look at Webster's, even the way we use the term chew its cud, chew on something, is ruminate means to think about something, to be deliberate, to be reflective. And when an animal, these kinds of animals eat, they don't just eat the food and it settles in the stomach, but it's something they chew on, they ruminate. When a person is thinking, contemplating, so we say, I'm going to chew on that a little bit. I'm going to ruminate about it. A person, for the animal, the lesson from a person, from animals, is that, again, to be reflective, to be a thinker, to chew on things, to ruminate about things, to be thoughtful and reflexive about things. That's what one of the lessons of an animal that chews its cud. It's a thoughtful, it goes through this process of achila in a deliberate fashion. Similarly, certainly the notion of split hooves represents the notion of bechira chavshis, that an animal that has split hooves has choices to make, has directions in which he can go in, and obviously has to choose the correct direction. The chazir, which is the paradigmatic treif animal, is that animal that presents its feet to us, the Medrash says. It says, look, I have split hooves, I have that sense of free will, but we know that on the inside, doesn't chew its cud. So again, the notion of free will is represented by the split hooves, and a person, again, has to always choose that correct direction. When it comes to birds, so typically speaking, the birds of prey, the birds that are carnivorous in nature, the vultures, the falcons, the eagles, that really are birds that are predators, so those are the kinds of birds that we're not allowed to eat. And the more docile type birds, the chickens that are there, they're not carnivores, they're herbivores, and again, they're more domesticated, again, representing what Rav Hirsch writes, you are what you eat, and to go ahead and absorb into ourselves these kinds of midos is really what the bird represents as well. Obviously, when it comes to shkatzim and shratzim, the very name that the Torah assigns to them, shkatzim, something that is vile and disgusting, shratzim is vermin, swarming vermin, so again, that's not part of what a human's about. A human is about individuality, a sheretz. A sheretz, he lives in a swarm, he lives in a pack, and part of, again, being a Ben Adam is, yes, we're part of a community, but we also express that sense of individuality. We're not just this swarm, this mass of matter, of insect, but rather we have our own kolchos, we have our unique kolchos that we have to define and develop for ourselves, and perhaps, again, that's a message that we take from the prohibition, that which we're not allowed to eat, that which we are allowed to eat, to have that sense of bechira chavshis, to have that sense of thoughtfulness, deliberateness, not to be an aggressive type of predatory type of individual, to be reflexive, to be reflective, to have that sense of separation, that shield, that guard from my environment when I know it might be able to have that capacity to damage me, and to have the ability to swim away from danger, to flee danger when it's there. So all of these are midos that perhaps we can derive from the laws of kashrus. And as we go ahead and we think about what we eat, and we think about what we put into our mouths, and the sensitivity and care that we have in every single aspect that we put in our mouths, always think about everything that we absorb into ourselves, is to be sensitive and careful what we absorb into ourselves, make sure that not just what we eat is kosher, but everything that we take in has all of that sense of kashrus, that sense of things that will uplift us, that will pick us up, that will make us better, and Rahman al-Islam, not the reverse. I want to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos Kodesh.